Read along with me today, if you would. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. The title of the message is, What Do You Hear? John, chapter 12, 27 through 37 is our text today. The situation is that some Gentiles were asking to come and see Jesus. Jesus had come up to the feast to worship. This is after he had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey. His crucifixion was coming soon, and these Gentiles asking to see Jesus triggered a response from Jesus about his coming crucifixion. He knows where things are headed. The crucifixion is coming very soon, and Jesus spoke about the significance of his death, that if a grain of wheat simply stays on the stalk and never falls in the ground, it never does anything. But if that grain falls in the ground, it dies. But from that grain falling in the ground, much life can come out of it. And now let's pick up in verse 27. Jesus said, Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. Let's pray. Our Father, today as we come before you, I thank you, Lord, so much for the richness of your word. I thank you for the comfort that it brings to us, the truth and the guidance that it provides to us, the fact that it's your word, Lord, and not ours, and that it is what we must seek to understand, and it's a word that can transform us, change us, Lord, and bring life into us. I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to have this treasure. I thank you for this time, Lord, that we might spend together seeking to dig in and to understand and to hear the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for him today. I thank you, Lord, for his humanity and his divinity, Lord. Just all of who he is, Lord, and for all that he endured for our sakes. I praise you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. For I know that in those moments and in that time, there was such great suffering he faced. But Lord, what riches today, can we experience because of all Jesus was willing to suffer? Thank you, Lord, for this word of truth. And help us today, Lord, to hear. Help us to truly, truly hear. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to receive the word which can bring about new life in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is such a full passage, and it's not my heart to try to go through all of it in depth, but simply to ask the question, what do you hear? What do you hear? As Jesus is talking about his impending death, the passage that precedes what we read, Jesus gets very honest and transparent and open about what's going on inside him. And he says in verse 27 that now is his soul troubled. Jesus said, I feel troubled. I feel revulsion and horror, anxiety, agitation. That's what Jesus was feeling. The cross was coming. And right here, Jesus is really honest about how he's feeling because Jesus came to live as a man, to experience humanity. And I love that he is a compassionate Savior, willing to come and walk in our shoes. He knows the feeling. But at the same time that he has that feeling in him, he says, but what shall I say? Just because I'm troubled, just because I'm anxious and I'm agitated, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. Should I, because this is hard, because I'm, you know, concerned, scared, if you will, should I say, get me out of this? And then he says, because this is the reason I've come. Ultimately, he recognized that the cross was his crowning purpose. There were a lot of things Jesus did in his ministry. A lot of amazing things. A lot of amazing things he said. But the cross was the ultimate goal. And he's saying, just because this agitates me and troubles me, can I walk away from this? This is why I'm here. And so he responds to this inner turmoil within him, where the humanity really didn't want the cross, but the divinity in him recognized the purpose and was committed to the purpose. And he says this, Father, glorify your name. We know that in Jesus' life, there was one overriding passion. He loved his Father. He loved his Father. He deeply loved his Father. He wanted his Father to be glorified and honored. And so the way Jesus reconciled all this in himself, the trouble and the concern of his humanity, but recognizing his destiny and his purpose, it was this. The thing that overrided all is, Father, be glorified. Be glorified. Not my will, but your will be done. And as Jesus lays out here his heart, And what was going on inside him, we have an amazing event occur. Only happened 3 times that's recorded in the ministry of Jesus. Only 3 times that it's happened during the ministry of Jesus, which was a pretty amazing time period. We hear a voice of God the Father speaking from heaven. The voice of God the Father audibly speaking from heaven. The first time it happened was at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The second time happened when Jesus went up onto a mountain alone with Peter and James and John, and he was transfigured so that his glory shone. And when Peter wanted to build a temple up there on the mountain to Jesus and also to Moses and Elijah who appeared, the Father God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, hear him, listen to him." And the third time here is when Jesus opens up his heart before these people and shows them the human struggle, but the divine purpose and his overriding passion for the glory of God. And the Father responds to what Jesus says. When Jesus says, glorify your name, the Father says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Jesus, in his obedience, we see in his ministry, had glorified God on many different occasions. And the Father is putting his stamp of approval on that, of what he had done, and yet what he would do. This voice speaks from heaven. And we know, because we're reading here, what the Father said. But what I want to draw your attention to is how the people responded. What did they hear in this message? It says the crowd that stood there, the people that were standing there, they heard it, and some of them said, that was thunder. That was thunder. Some of them said, oh no, there was a voice. I mean, there was something that was said. There was something that was communicated. That was an angel speaking from heaven. Now, neither of those were right. Certainly, when God had spoken in the past, in the Old Testament, audibly, Exodus 19:19, you could go back and read that about the Lord speaking at Mount Sinai. It says, as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. And so the voice of God sounded like thunder, but there was speech, recognizable speech, thoughts, sentences, words that were communicated. But it had a sound to it like thunder. We read in Revelation about Jesus speaking and having a voice like many waters. Kind of wonder what that sounds like. Job, when God was speaking to Job from the whirlwind, the Lord said to him, have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? You know, the thing about thunder is that, you know, when the thunder cracks, you can hear it everywhere, right? You can hear it from one part of town to the other part of town where it speaks to all. You can be inside your house and there's a loud thunderbolt and you hear it. You can even feel it at times when it strikes. And so there's this sense of God's voice being able to be heard and very majestic and very powerful. But some people heard this and all they heard was thunder. They didn't pick up what was said. And some people heard this and said, well, there was an angel talking to him. But they didn't seem to sense what it was that was really said. I want to ask a question. Why didn't they all hear the same thing? They were all in the same place. The same sound came. Why didn't they all hear the same thing? Surely we recognize that at times different people can look at the same thing and have different takeaways from it. A few months ago, had the chance to go visit the Grand Canyon. Almost didn't do it because I was kind of lazy and didn't want to make the drive, but 100% glad I did it. I would do it again. It was absolutely worth it, the drive and being able to see it. And as there are crowds of people that gather there every day to go to see the Grand Canyon, I have no doubt that people can look at the same thing and walk away with different takeaways from it. Some of them, it is simply the enormity of it, the beauty of the Grand Canyon, and they walk away thinking about the beauty. Some people look at that and they think about the process, you know, just the amazing process of that canyon being formed. All the power that must have been involved in creating that great chasm. Some people look at the Grand Canyon and they see the eagles and the birds soaring on the thermals inside the canyon and all the different things that live there inside the canyon. They see the habitat and just this amazing place. Some people go to the canyon and they think about the adventure. They think about hiking down. They think about rafting the river down there. Or they think about trying to climb back up. Or some people think about trying to suspend a trapeze line across it and walk across, as some few have done. They think about it as an adventure. And some people stand there at the edge and they are captivated by fear, afraid of falling off the edge. Different people can look at the same thing and have different feelings and have different takeaways. But this is a bit different And I want us to understand, this is not just like God's general revelation where people can look at a sunrise and think about different things because there is this general thing. Here we have God speaking in specific, clear, discernible words with a meaning. Not just a picture. A sentence. Two sentences. Two sentences. Or depending on how you punctuate it, one with a comma. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. That's what God said. He said something specific with meaning in response to Jesus. Why didn't they all understand the specific message that God spoke in their hearing? Consider what Jesus said after this voice, and the people were kind of in the hubbub about what that was. Jesus said in verse 30, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." The reason the Father spoke just now is not just for me. It was for you. It was so you could hear. So you could hear. There were a lot of things that Jesus did in his ministry, a lot of things that Jesus said in his ministry that weren't just for him. He didn't just do enough or say enough to get the job done. He spent a lot of time saying and doing things that were for the benefit of the people who were there. Back in John chapter 11, you can read about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And there he prayed to the Father. I know that you always hear me and you respond to what I ask. But then Jesus said there at the tomb of Lazarus, right before he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he said, "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this out loud on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus proceeded raising Lazarus from the dead with these statements about talking to the Father and that knowing the Father hears him before he said that, because he wanted them to connect what he was about to do with the message that he had been trying to bring to them all along. It wasn't just about putting on a show. It wasn't just about a miracle. He wanted them to believe. He wanted them to hear and to believe him. Not just see something. And so there are many things that Jesus did that were for the benefit of his audience. How many times has God orchestrated events for your sake and not just for his? How many times has God gone out of his way in accomplishing his purpose to do it in such a way, to move in such a way, that you would find there not only God accomplishing his purpose, but doing it in such a way that he is seeking to speak to you, to let you know that he's thinking about you, to let you know that he cares about you, and that he wants your attention? That he's not just simply seeking to act and move on in an impersonal way, but that he actually cares about you and wants you to hear and wants you to understand, and speaking a language that you will understand and know if you will hear it. Have you ever thought about that? How God has taken the time to speak to you in some way. Didn't have to. But yet, he cared. I can tell you, just personally, that in the last few months, there have been many times the Lord went beyond just accomplishing his purpose in order to craft circumstances to speak directly to my heart. To leave his love notes, if you will. He wasn't bound to do that, but he chose to do that. He chose to do that. Not just for his sake, but for my sake. Consider the tenderness of Jesus Christ and his concern for his audience. And as Jesus explained what this was all about, and the voice of God speaking from the sky, and that it was not just for his sake, but for their sake, Jesus explains that this really is about what is about to happen. This is really about the gospel. This is about salvation. This is about how Jesus was going to make a way for man to be reconciled to God because our relationship was broken. He says in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world." Now, at the cross, and what's about to happen, you're going to see on display the full wickedness of mankind. You're going to see how bad people can be and how what God has to say about sin is true. You're going to see how God truly feels about sin, because when the Son of Man takes upon all of the sin of the world, God's just not going to let it go. But when Jesus takes that upon himself, God truly is going to allow his Son to die, to suffer and to die. Because sin carries with it the consequence of death. He says, "Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." He goes back to the very beginning. The ruler of this world. How did Satan come into that place? That's who Jesus is speaking of. The ruler of this world. Back in the garden, when Adam and Eve chose to listen to the voice of Satan instead of listening to the voice of God, they made Satan their king, in a sense. And he had been dominating the thoughts and the hearts of people for thousands of years. Thought he had the upper hand. And Jesus is saying, you're about to see that enemy defeated. Oh, it'll look like he wins on the cross when I die, but in the resurrection, it was demonstrated that God had gained the power of life over death to bring back what had died because of sin in new and glorious and perfect form. You're going to see Satan dethroned. And he said, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And it says he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. He was telling them he was going to be lifted up. He was picturing the cross where he would truly be lifted up in the sense before them. He was talking about how he's going to die. But he's also saying, but I'm going to draw through this all kinds of people to myself. You see, I mentioned at the very beginning, some people who were not Jewish had come to see Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is that my love and this work that I'm going to do is not just for the Jewish people. It is for every nation. It is for every tribe. It is for every tongue, for every culture, for every time. This is for the world. This is for all kinds of people. Not just this culture, this place, this time. This is God coming to solve the problem that all of us have. And to trigger the message of Jesus going out to all the world. This message today, this message, what we're doing today, you can trace it all back to the cross. You can trace it all back to the cross of Jesus Christ and what that triggered to go forward. As Jesus explained that to them, it says in verse 34 and 34, how they responded. The crowd answered him, "Well, we have heard from the law that the Christ, the Messiah, remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now, if you read the question, you spend some time digging into this, you'll realize that they were connecting a lot of Jesus' teaching from prior occasions. This is not the first time they'd heard Jesus, the first time they had heard about what Jesus was saying. They bring up the Son of Man. They bring up the Christ. And fundamentally, here's their problem. Jesus was talking about being lifted up and being crucified or killed. And they had kind of pieced together that Jesus had referred to himself as the Son of Man, and they were awaiting a Messiah, and they were kind of piecing together this possibility the Son of Man could be the Messiah, the Christ, and how all does this work out? And what they're coming to say to Jesus is, look, we don't expect a Messiah that's going to suffer and die. That's not what we expect. That's not what we're looking for. That doesn't make sense to us. We don't think that's really what the Old Testament teaches. Now, we have spent a lot of time in the past looking at the Old Testament and seeing that it exactly predicts the suffering of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus quoted from the Old Testament on the cross, and you go back and you read those verses, and it speaks of the crucifixion very, very clearly. But that's not what they saw. That's not what they wanted to see. You see, they had here what sounds like, if you looked at this just on its own, a good question. They had a good question. But what Jesus saw was that this really wasn't so much of a good question, but it was just another excuse. It was just another excuse. The reason they could not understand the voice, and here's the answer. The reason they could not understand the voice of God thundering is because they would not receive the message. The reason they could not understand the voice of the Father was because they were not willing to hear what he had to say. It can be anything but that. It can be anything but that. And by their hardness of heart, they shut themselves off to what the Lord was trying to say to them. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 13 for just a moment. Matthew 13. There's a proverb that says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." It's in Proverbs chapter 4. And truly, where your heart's at is the most important thing. And we see how significant it is here in Matthew 13 as Jesus gives the parable of the sower. And I'm just going to read just a few verses. I'm not going to go through all of it here. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately were immediately sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, this passage, Jesus speaks of four different responses as the seed, the same seeds going out. Some fell by the wayside where the ground was hard and the birds came and plucked them up. Other seeds fell in shallow soil where they couldn't get a good root, and they popped up right away, but when the hard summer sun came, they were scorched because they had no depth of root to draw water from to sustain. They couldn't handle the heat. The third fell among the thorns and the weeds, and because the weeds were grabbing the nutrients of the ground and were choking out some of the light, the plants started to come up, but they never became what they could because the soil was choked with weeds. And then finally, there was the good soil that brought forth a plant and it bore fruit. Now, we could go and try to dissect this in all sorts of different ways. I know I have in the past. And I was talking to Brother Mike Calhoun a few weeks ago, and he preached on this passage, and I was asking him some questions, and he made a comment to me that I really thought was good, because I was asking him how he interpreted all the different types of soil. And this is what he said to me, something to this effect. He said, you know, people argue over what this soil represents and what that soil represents, but the point is this. You need to be the good soil. That's the point. You know, and oftentimes we can try to dig into all these parables and analogies and pull out all sorts of things that were never really what Jesus was trying to focus on. The point is, you don't want to be the hardened soil. You don't want to be the shallow soil. You don't want to be the soil with weeds. You want to be the soil that receives the seed and produces fruit. That's what Jesus wanted for all those who were hearing him, to be the soil that received the seed and produced the fruit. And what determines what kind of soil you have? It's your heart. It's your heart. Will you receive? Are you open to? Will you consider the things of God? Will you soften yourself to be responsive to the tenderness of God who seeks to speak to you and to draw you to himself? Or will you shut yourself down? Will you allow yourself to be distracted? Will you never dig deep, never really seek, never really think about these things, but only be shallow? Because your heart matters. It matters greatly. And as Jesus finished that parable in Matthew 13, this is what he said. He who has ears, let him hear. Folks, everybody there who was listening to Jesus, they probably physically had ears. They probably all physically had ears. But that doesn't mean that they were all willing to listen. Willing to hear. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Those who are willing to hear, who have that soil that would receive the seed, receive it. Receive the seed. Jesus concludes back here in John, responds to these people. And they ask him this question, and we've kind of discussed that this isn't really so much a question as another excuse. And so Jesus said to them in verse 35, the light is among you for a little while longer. And we know he's speaking of himself. Jesus said he is the light of the world. So Jesus says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. What Jesus is trying to communicate in these last things that he says before he goes and hides himself from them is that there is an urgency. There is an urgency here. There is an urgency to respond to him. Number one, you need to understand, as Jesus says, how you need him to draw you to be saved. You need him to draw you to be saved. He says you need to seek while the light is here. You need to not waste this moment when the Lord is speaking to you, when there is this clarity, when God is trying to draw you. One thing that Jesus was very clear about here, and John records it, is that he is the light of the world, and that nobody can come to him unless the Father draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus told those people who were there and heard the Father speak, he said, the Father is speaking for your benefit. He is speaking for your benefit. He is trying to communicate to you. And Jesus had said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. And so Jesus is telling those people, the Father is trying to speak. He's trying to get your attention. Will you listen to this? Will you pay attention to this? Will you do something about this? Because you can only be saved. You can only come to know him. You can only become a child of light while you have the light there present. You will never be saved apart from responding to the message of Christ and the drawing of his Holy Spirit. You get that? You will never be saved. You will never come into that relationship with him that he's calling you to unless you respond to his word and you respond to his Spirit. And they work together. That does not come apart from that. And notice at the end of verse 36 there, Jesus, after he said those things, he departed and he physically hid himself from them. He illustrated this to them. I want you to see what it's like when I'm not here. And he literally left and he hid himself from the people. Because he wanted them to recognize how precious that opportunity was. Number two, Jesus is warning them about the darkness. He says, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he is going. My friend, number two, don't underestimate the darkness. Don't underestimate the darkness. He speaks of darkness overtaking. My friends, when things are good, when we're in a place of safety, when the light of God's kindness is shining, when we have those moments of clarity, we can be fooled into thinking that they will always be there. That I can take advantage of this whenever I want. Yeah, I know there's something to this God thing. I know there's something to this Jesus thing. Yeah, you know, it's something I want, but I just, not today. Not today. Not now. My friend, you underestimate the darkness. You underestimate the darkness that is lurking. If you do not respond when the light is shining upon you, don't forget that on the day of Jesus' crucifixion, crowds of people who had seen him perform miracles, heal many people, do much good, gathered and shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And when they were offered the opportunity to have Jesus released or Barabbas, a thief, a convicted thief, they chose Barabbas. Not because they liked Barabbas, but because they hated Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate the power of darkness upon your soul to twist and turn your heart against God. My friend, if you have an inkling in you today, an inkling in you today that desires the things of God, that wants and desires His salvation, that seeks that peace and you want that, my friend, that is a gift from God. That is a gift from God. And do not turn away the moment and the time when God's Spirit is giving you an inkling of desire for Him. Because that darkness that is also lying there within your breast, that is telling you to wait and to put it off, that there's a better time, my friend, that darkness is great. And it seeks to swallow up the light. And it is so easy to go out here and be distracted with the weeds and to be shallow in your knowledge of the things of God, or to just let your heart be hard. And you can hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of a God who came to the world to die for the sins of all. And it just bounces off you because your heart has become hard like a rock. Do not underestimate the darkness. This message is intended to trigger a response. Not just me. What we're reading here, what Jesus is trying to say, He is wanting to trigger a response, a urgent response. Verse 37 says, He had performed many miracles before them. Many things He had done before their eyes to show them that He was real, to show them that He cared about them specifically. But though He had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in Him. This was the latest sign. Literally, the voice of God the Father from heaven, just like Mount Sinai. And you got to ask yourself when you see this, and you got to ask yourself, when will I have seen enough? We heard the latest question they asked. But as Jesus saw through it, it wasn't really a question. It was an excuse. It wasn't a question. It was just an excuse. Because in their heart of hearts, they did not want to surrender themselves to Jesus. They didn't want to trust Him. They wanted to do life their own way. They wanted their expectations to be fulfilled. Maybe it scared them. Maybe at some level, they found it unattractive. You know, we can put ourselves, and I hear people doing this. I probably did a bit of this when I was lost, saying things in my head like, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll seek you. Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll seek you. What are you doing? What are you doing? I tell you, that thing that you're doing there, the rich man, you read about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man was very wealthy, lived a very enjoyable life. There was the Lazarus, the poor man who lived outside of his gate, had sores on his body, and starving all the time. They both died. The man Lazarus out there outside the gate was saved. He knew the Lord and he went to heaven to be comforted. And the rich man didn't know God and he went into hell. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he didn't know the Lord, didn't have that relationship. And when he got down there and the reality of that struck him, he was able to look and see Lazarus being comforted. He asked, "Why don't you send Lazarus back from the dead to my brothers and warn them so that they don't come to this awful place?" And Jesus' response was, Abraham's response to the rich man was that if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if they won't hear the scriptures, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Even if one came back from the dead, it wouldn't be enough. And truly, we saw that to be the case when Jesus himself rose from the dead. And many people still would not believe. And it kind of like explodes all that, doesn't it? That it was really never about not having enough proof. It was about not wanting to believe. It was always really about not wanting to believe. And unless you fooled yourself to think that you're not fundamentally the same as the people we see here and we read about here, unless you fooled yourself to think, "Well, I'm different than them," my friend, that's the greatest lie in the world. We all sin. We all have the same kind of nature. We all struggle with the same thing. My friends, I struggled with this so hard until God in His kindness, and His patience helped me to humble myself and realize I was no different than anybody else. No different. Just as much a sinner, just as much in need of a Savior. My friend, that's the position you find yourself in today too. And Jesus is urgent cry to you is that while you have the light, while you have a moment when you know what He is calling you to, while you have a moment when you know that there is a part in you that desires that and you recognize that's from God, when you have a moment that God's Spirit is dealing with you and you know that things aren't right and you want that peace and you want out of that burden of sin, my friends, that's the light. That is the light. To know what Jesus is saying, to know that He's drawing you, my friends, that is the light. It's not my convincing words. It's not how passionately I preach. I could be up here trying to sell you a walk, folks, and talk all passionately. But I'm not. I'm not. It comes down to between you and God. And one person could hear this message, and by the help and grace of God, they could respond to it and be saved today. And their life eternally changed. And someone else could hear the same message and walk out of here and think, "That guy is a fool." Same seed, different soil. Same seed, different soil. What kind of soil are you today? What kind of soil are you? Will you receive in humility and meekness that seed which is able to save your soul? Or will you harden up and just let it bounce off again?